Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the second hour of the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, commentator, columnist, all-around rabble-rouser, here sitting in gratefully and delighted to sit in Alan's chair while he's on assignment. And as you heard in my first hour spouting off rant, I believe COVID, and we're going on 3 years of this, ladies and gentlemen, was the jump the shark moment. Most people see that we're living in an alternate universe, and it started, you can keep tracking it back, but COVID was the jump the shark moment. Somebody who seems to agree with me has a book coming out tomorrow. And what a treat to have him on the program. I've been begging him, asking him to get on the program. And he is well known. I'm not the only one who knows him. Everybody knows A.J. Rice, who is author of The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. AJ is president and CEO of Publius PR, whom we use all the time, the editor-in-chief of the Publius National Post, and the author of the book I just mentioned. Can't wait to talk to him about it. Hi, AJ. Welcome to the program.
Karen, my long-lost sister, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you finally. And boy, oh boy, are you excited. Your book has been in pre-sales for the longest time. And I looked and I saw tomorrow. It's on.
I know. Finally, right?
Yeah.
Finally. Well, look, it was pretty much a three-year labor of love. Last sort of year and a half of Trump and then the Biden years up till about, you know, January. So, it's been great. You know, I mean, it's hard to do a book when you're trying to save the country, every day, like you and I are trying to save the country every day with our PR firm, with all the different, you know, all-stars we represent. But, you know, one of the reasons I did the book was I played sports growing up in Philadelphia, and there's one thing I always respected the coaches that played the game. So whether it's Coach K, whether it's Bobby Knight, whoever it is, no one wants a coach that hasn't played the game. So I have put a lot of my famous clients through the motions over the years. I've coached them. I've produced radio. I've done PR for them. I've consulted. You know, we've had, you know, big names, everyone from Donald Trump Jr. to, you know, we've got Naomi Wolf now and Peter Navarro. Paul Manafort's book's coming out in a couple weeks.
Correct.
We've worked with, you know, Charles Krauthammer over the years and Victor Davis Hanson. And I was the former executive producer of the Laura Ingraham Show, the Monica Crowley Show, on and on. But the one thing I learned is, you know, to go through this is now I can see now as an author what my clients have been dealing with. So, you know, doing the book while you're still trying to captain the ship, it's been a challenge, but we're finally here. You know, you can get it tomorrow.
So talk about the book. There is a quote on Amazon. I don't know if this is from your book or it's a descriptor, but it's a great way to introduce this book to people. The Woking Dead, which is the name of your book, are everywhere. An army of undead ghouls turning millions into mindless, ravenous devourers of all things good and American. Wow. Talk about that and what we're likely to find in this book.
Of course. A giant part of this took place during, you know, the Faucian, Dr. Birx lockdown, a lot of it. And if you go through it, you can see, you know, obviously I'm passionate about everything, but some of the sections are bigger than others. The one on China is massive. The one thing that I started thinking about during this time period, because we also had cancel culture happening, we had CRT being pumped in the schools, we had a media, a Hollywood, and an academia that were okay with anything goes as far as behavior, if it's to praise George Floyd or some kind of BLM riot or some kind of takeover of an inner city. And at the same time, that's okay, but the rest of us all just have to go into our closets and duct tape our mouths shut and just wait out this virus. Now, the subtitle of the book isn't talking about COVID. It's talking about what I feel is the true virus in the United States, and that is wokeism. That is wokeism. You know, how society's Vogue virus destroys our culture. Because I believe that's been the true virus that's been plaguing us for 3 years, not this, you know, basically dress rehearsal for authoritarianism that they're doing to us. So,
yeah,
you know, and it's infiltrated everything, sports, academia, movies. You know, Dave Chappelle's got to move a venue last week in Minneapolis because a bunch of people were upset. I guess the LGBTQ mafia went after the place. So yeah, that's, you know, and a lot of these people and topics make appearances in the book itself.
We're talking to A.J. Rice, author of the released book Tomorrow, Right Now, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. A.J., if there was a Martian that came to town and came to Earth and wanted to know what wokeism is, people think they know, but how would you define it for people?
Well, it's a sort of a hydra. It's like a multi-headed monster, right? Mm-hmm. So some of it is a form of virtue signaling where you're going to extrapolate and declare some sort of left-wing cultural, you know, behavior that you exhibit. And that's part of it. So, you know, whether it's pronouns or, you know, safe spaces on college campuses, removing Christopher Columbus, removing, you know, Huckleberry Finn from libraries while simultaneously sending drag queens into read in libraries. So Huck
and putting
Finn's
pornography
out,
on
in.
Grade school shelves. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So some of it is the removal of Western civilization. Some of it is basically implementing a new behavior for all of us to follow. New rules on speech, new rules on judgment. Can't have that unless it's judgment of the non-protected class. And the non-protected class, usually, at least since maybe the Reagan era, is your standard pro-American, Western civilization, pro-Western civilization citizen. So, you know, there's judgments across the board for them. So it's basically a way to slowly, incrementally change our behavior, change how we speak, decide which movies we watch, decide what music we're allowed to listen to, what's funny and what isn't. There's a big part of the book that's really about that.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the big pillars that define culture all working in unison with each other. So when you have government and entertainment, the entertainment industry, there's at least 90% of them. You have academia, which also would include the public schools, which are run by, you know, the jackboots of the teachers unions. You have all them working together with the media, the sort of news media. That's what they're here to do. They're here to turn us all into sort of the new American, you know, the new CRT loving, you know, culturally sensitive, virtue signaling citizens that obey. They want to, it's all about whether or not we, you know, they want us to obey.
They're lemming. They want to turn people into lemmings, and in my opinion, we're coming up on a break in a minute, and you've graciously agreed to stay with us one more segment, which I'm pleased about. It's probably not accidental that all of this came at us at once, in which they were exposed for who they really are, because even the masks, which I totally agree, the virus is not what they're saying it is, but masks destroy individuality. They literally turn us into looking, acting, behaving the same submissive lemmings. A.J. Rice, author of the new book, The Woking Dead, will stay with us, and we'll complete, maybe we'll do even a deeper dive into what wokeism really is all about and what they hope to accomplish. We've been talking about that and much more. Karen Cataline filling in for Alan Nathan here on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
As a mother of two, I know firsthand just how chaotic the back-to-school season can be. Personally, I'm prepping my kids to go back to school in early August, and I will be leaning on Shipt for every step along the way to make sure we're ready. Shipt's back-to-school guide takes all of the guesswork out of back-to-school shopping. We're providing a menu of products you really need to purchase this year. Top items this year, pens, pencils, glue sticks, crayons, and more. But the ultimate top item this year is the backpack. 80% of parents are picking up a new backpack for their kid this year. And for those heading off to college, we've got you covered too. Most college-age students are picking up tablets and mini fridges. Shipt shoppers can take the stress out of the back-to-school season by delivering your entire shopping list straight to your door in as soon as an hour. To find out more, download the Shipt app or visit Shipt.com.
This report is sponsored by Janssen Pharmaceuticals Incorporated. Over 37 million people are living with HIV. As of 2019, Black Americans accounted for 44% of new HIV diagnoses, while Hispanic and Latino communities accounted for 30%. Despite these stats, significant progress has been made toward ending the HIV/AIDS epidemic. Today, living with HIV means you can still thrive by prioritizing your health and well-being. It calls for self-reflection, requires self-acceptance, and demands a daily commitment to living your best life. Fearless conversations with those around you, like your healthcare provider or loved ones, may not be easy, but can help you unlock the knowledge and support you need to thrive with HIV. Kamaria Laffrey is an HIV advocate and Positively Fearless ambassador.
Examples of Positively Fearless talks include disclosing your status with family, friends, and healthcare providers to identify treatment options. The right doctor who understands your specific needs can connect you to the right resources within the HIV community.
To learn more, visit PositivelyFearless.com. This report is sponsored by Janssen Pharmaceuticals Incorporated.
Hi, I'm pharmacist Ray Solano with your Health Mart update, sponsored by PD Labs Pharmacy. The headline posted in CNN reads, British man overdoses on vitamin D and is hospitalized, according to the British Medical Journal. Yes, long-term, extremely high doses of some fat-soluble supplements have many side effects. However, proper doses of vitamin D have been clinically shown to be beneficial. It is estimated that up to 85% of the people have insufficient levels of vitamin D and are unaware of the deficient state. Vitamin D receptors are located throughout our body, including lungs and thyroid. Solution? Ask your health professional for your blood vitamin D levels. You may be surprised. PD Labs recommends proper vitamin D dosage along with 15 minutes of natural sunshine, as we ask everyone to take a common sense approach to your health. Call us and ask about the true health benefits of vitamin D. Check out our website, pdlabsrx.com, or call us at 888-909-0110. That's 888-909-0110. Remember, you have a choice in your health care.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy. And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much. From the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night, and every moment in between, it really is so special. And boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov.
brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. If you'd like to access the Alan Nathan Show archives and also get the Silk or Joe Show, just go to www.mainstreetradionetwork.com, and there's a veritable treasure trove of podcasts for years that you can look at, www.mainstreetradionetwork.com. We're talking to AJ Rice, a real star in the talk radio biz, because he supplies many, many of the guests that we have on here. He represents them. He is CEO of Publius PR, the editor-in-chief of the Publius National Post, and author of the new book coming out this week, tomorrow actually, The Woking Dead, How Society's Vogue Virus Destroys Our Culture. Thanks for staying with us, AJ Rice.
Of course. I'm a big fan of Alan Nathan and his team. They are professionals. They've been doing us a service for years. So happy to be on and happy to be with my sister, Karen.
Well, I'm happy to call you brother. Let's go further with this and the purpose and the reason that you wrote this book. I ask a lot of guests that. I ask a lot of your clients this. Okay, so let's say they've read your book, The Woking Dead. One of the things I find is that many people are awakened, not woke, to what's happening in this country, but they feel alone. Like, what can one person do about it? What can we do about this tyranny that is being imposed upon us from elected and unelected bureaucrats?
Well, what we were talking about before was how the sort of levers of society are all pushing wokeism in this sort of zombie groupthink that make up the Woking Dead. And I was talking about academia, the media, Hollywood, and government. The thing that kind of acts as the cartilage between them all, as both the sort of connective tissue and sort of hall monitor or police officer for wokeism, is of course the tech oligarchy, right? Mm-hmm. Where, you know, they act as the sort of, you know, force field for certain points of view that the government wants to jam down kids' throats or moviegoers' throats or concertgoers' throats or whatever it is. And it's all yes. This, and then there's a dogma that's involved in all of this, and that is identity. They're obsessed with identity based on gender, skin color, you know, who you're married to, who you date, you know, whatever it is. They're not interested in the individual anymore.
No.
They want you to raise up out of the left-wing graveyard, okay, and be one of them. So one of the things that conservatives are good at, have gotten better at, and my dear friend, who we all miss, Andrew Breitbart, who was a mentor to me, would always say, we got to stop complaining that they're controlling all this stuff. We have to be proactive. We have to make our own movies. You know, if we have to make our own school, fine. Make our own music, fine. But get into the arena, participate. As far as the tech oligarchy goes, a lot of conservatives have gotten into this. Trump has Truth Social. You've got Jason Miller, who worked for Trump, who started Getter. People like Dan Bongino are involved in, you know, who's a client of ours, involved with Rumble and Parler. So market forces, you know, give people an option. Let them vote with their wallet.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yes,
you know, people want to unplug from Facebook and join one of these other alternatives. That's one way we can fight back. You vote with your wallet. A lot of people have turned off the NFL. I'm from Philadelphia. It's tough for me. I'm an Eagles fan. Please buy the book anyway, even though you heard that I'm an Eagles fan. But,
yes,
you know, it's tough. It's tough when, you know, the kneelers are running the league. So, I mean, that's one of the things that we talk about, other than just ID and problems, but highlighting how you can sort of escape being the herd mentality, being sort of grouped in.
Right. And I say this often, people have a much greater sphere of influence than they realize. And if they're strong and they speak out and they spout off, then they can be an influence to others using some of the ammo, shall we say, in your book. So give us a little more ammo in that book of yours so that our audience can hear more about it. That's always good.
Well, the book is broken down into sort of 10 sections. You know, I talk extensively about what we're dealing with from the current administration. One of the reasons wokeism is like a prairie fire right now is because you basically have, you know, my Greek friends always say the fish rots from the head, right? You basically have a meat puppet, American meat puppet, who is barely hanging on. You know, he used to be much more of a, you know, snappy, you know, I mean, I've met Joe Biden many times, and he always had a sort of, you know, Irish Catholic, you know, curmudgeon mixed with comedy, you know, gaffe-prone machine going on. But he seemed, but he always was sort of this empty Tupperware container that whoever came along, whoever came along, it could fill it with whatever they wanted to fill it with. Well, that's what we're dealing with now. Yeah,
exactly.
So I mean, the first section of the book really gets into that and gets into the empty suit that is his vice president as well. So section one is called American Meat Puppet. And, you know, you've got this guy that has no control of the bureaucracy, no control of his own family even. I mean, no, you know, his brother and his son are running around doing whatever the hell they want. And the government and everyone has a wish list, this sort of woke wish list. And they're basically trying to get him to do and sort of filling this empty Tupperware container that is the president of the United States with whatever sort of woke pet project, social engineering petri dish that, you know, arouses them at the moment. So he, you know, if as time goes on here, I mean, he's slowly sort of becoming this sort of King Lear type figure that's, you know, you can't really tell, you know, there's no going off the prompter. You know, he reads everything.
He
that's
can't
in the
even
prompter.
Read the prompter.
Yeah, I mean, he's like Ron Burgundy
we have
reading
30
everything
seconds,
that's in the
forgive me. We have 30 seconds, so I want to give everybody a chance. Where's the very best place to get your book right now? And
you can always go to WokingDeadBook.com, which will link to everywhere you can buy it. But it's at all major bookstores, you know, Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.
Good luck with the book. What a pleasure it is to finally talk to A.J. Rice on the radio. Take care. And good to have you. Well, we're going to move right along on a totally shift gears here. We're going to talk a little bit about anti-Semitism, sadly, which is growing with our next guest. Stay tuned for that. You're listening to The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline.
Although summer is just heating up, the first day of school sneaks up on families every year. With the pandemic disrupting preventative health visits, childhood vaccination rates have been on the decline, and nationwide, the number of children with required shots is falling below herd immunity, raising the risk for disease outbreaks as students head back to school. Family physician Dr. Christopher Scuderi explains.
Because young children are still developing their immune systems and different vaccines are given at different ages, it's important that families keep their kids' immunizations up to date. Vaccinations are safe, effective, and save lives. Building a community of immunity is key for heading back to school and staying healthy. Children 6 months and older are now eligible for the COVID-19 vaccine. Vaccinating your child for the COVID-19 will protect them from severe illness and keep your child and family healthy, allowing them to stay connected to friends, classmates, and activities. Because vaccines take time to build immunity, now is the best time to schedule a back-to-school health visit to catch up on vaccines. Talk with your family physician about what immunizations are recommended for your child's age.
For more information, visit familydoctor.org/vaccines.
The first day of school is around the corner, and Amazon is making back-to-school shopping easy. Amazon is a one-stop destination for everything students need, from supplies and electronics to fall fashion and study space decor. With Amazon's back-to-school and off-to-college shopping guides, parents, students, and teachers can easily find all of their school needs and shop by grade, popular characters, most loved picks, and even by their favorite celebrities. Whether students are heading to their first day of preschool or their final year of college, Amazon offers vast selection, great value, and fast free delivery on eligible items for Prime members. College students can also sign up for Prime Student to access the same shopping, savings, and entertainment benefits of Prime for just $7.49, while also enjoying exclusive perks for college life, like 24/7 tutoring with Course Hero. Head to Amazon.com/back to school and Amazon.com/off to college today to start checking off your school shopping list.
People do some pretty cool things in their 40s and 50s. Why should saving for retirement be any different? I mean, they go back to college, learn new instruments, start skateboarding. Whoa! Okay, maybe that one's not for everybody, but saving for retirement is. With ACEyourRetirement.org, you can get on track with your retirement savings no matter your age. Just have a 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach from AARP. You'll get personalized recommendations based on your input that are easy to understand and work with your lifestyle. It's quick, easy, and free. Plus, it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Snarly move, Dad.
Thanks, sweetie.
So wherever you are in your retirement savings journey, head to aceyourretirement.org and start chatting with Avo today. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Psst, Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
I was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean when it happened. There was a sudden jolt and our submarine crashed on the seafloor. We were in total darkness.
That's Dr. Dejana Figueroa, a marine biologist and STEM teacher, talking about a deep sea dive she'll never forget.
It's funny. When I was a kid, I was afraid of the ocean. And there I was, 2 miles below the surface. But as a scientist, you prepare for that. Using our training and a little creativity, we fixed the sub and finished our experiments. The dive was just too important. Every dive gives us glimpses at things few people ever get to see. Glowing creatures, fiery undersea volcanoes. When we got back to the surface, I kissed the ground and called my mom, of course. But you know what? I wouldn't trade that dive for anything.
Dr. Figueroa uses her passion for STEM to discover new things and make the world a better place. She can STEM, so can you. Check out She Can STEM for more stories and inspiration. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. We're plowing right ahead. I think most of you know at this point, because I've been filling in for Alan Nathan for quite a while now, that I put the Judeo in Judeo-Christian, and I talk often that while the Jewish people aren't the only canaries in the coal mine these days, They have traditionally been the canaries in the coal mine for thousands of years. Here to talk about a growing, very unsettling, disturbing anti-Semitism, which often signals bad times for people, Jew and non-Jew alike. But here to talk about it is Charles Jacobs. Over four decades, he has co-founded or led several Jewish and human rights organizations, including the American Anti-Slavery Group, the David Project, Americans for Peace and Tolerance, and the Boston branch of the Committee for Accuracy in Middle East Reporting and Analysis. Charles Jacobs, thank you so much for joining us for this very important topic.
Thank you for having me, Karen.
Well, it's good to have you. So many people are not aware that anti-Semitic incidences, if I can say that, are growing here and around the world. What can you tell us about that? And is that really true?
Yes, it is true. I mean, the Jewish community in America and around the world, but in America, where I am, is experiencing a surge of anti-Semitism, and it's getting dangerous. Jews are beaten in the streets of New York. You can see videos of that almost every week. They've been murdered in Pittsburgh, in San Diego, in Jersey City. Rabbi was stabbed in Boston. Jews have been taken hostage in Texas. And Jewish college students are harassed and bullied on campuses around the country. And according to the FBI, a Jewish person is twice as likely to suffer a hate crime than a black person or a Muslim, 10 times more likely than an Asian or a Latino. The Jewish state is defamed in the mainstream media, and it's maligned in the U.S. Congress and the United Nations, and anti-Zionism is becoming the new anti-Semitism. 40% of Jewish people in America hide their identity, either by not wearing identifiable garb or by not attending Jewish events. 90% of Jews think that anti-Semitism is a problem. Almost every Jewish building in America now has security. It's getting to be like Europe. And life has changed dramatically. And our problem is, as this is surging against us, we have a leadership that's failing to protect us. We can't determine what our enemies and our adversaries are going to do. But we surely ought to get people who can protect us in the leadership. It's not quite the case that our house is on fire, but it's hot and there's smoke and our leaders are acting like it's business as usual. And this has to stop.
We're talking to Charles Jacobs about this growing anti-Jewish sentiment in America, really, and around the world. Before we get, even though we have a really short segment, always do, before we get to that they're asleep at the switch, Jewish people or rabbis and synagogues, although there is security, to what do you attribute this explosion of Jew hatred after we're only, 70 years after the Holocaust, and here we are again? To what do you attribute that?
Well, there was a new kind of anti-Semitism that popped up that we weren't aware of. It's that Zionism, anti-Zionism is the new anti-Semitism. So you've got an alliance of now four ideological camps who hate Jews, mostly because of what they think about Israel. You've got the left, leftist anti-Zionists. You've got the right wing. They've always been the kind of neo-Nazi white supremacists. You've got black nationalists. And you have Islamists, radical Islamists, who hate Jews for all kinds of religious reasons. And all of this is like a perfect storm. It came together. And the Jews weren't ready for it. And their leaders haven't budged. They're kind of like fighting the last war. Everybody's, fighting, would love to focus on the neo-Nazis, and they're always a problem. There's no doubt about that. But that's easy. There's no contention about that. There's no pushback. The harder thing to do is to, what are we going to do about that? The left wing in America has been taken over by the woke progressives, the classical liberals are losing to the woke progressives who think the Jews now are white people, undeservedly privileged, who are committing horrible racist crimes in Israel. And it's all of these things that have come together, as I say, is a perfect storm, and the Jews were caught unawares. The Jewish leadership is caught unawares, and they're seen paralyzed like deer in the headlights. And that's the thing we need to change.
It's complicated, and you explain it quite well. It's complicated. I spend a lot of time looking at leftism and its dedication to collectivism, that we are no longer individuals. We spoke about that just before you came on. We're no longer individuals anymore. There's like a sanctioned bigotry that you are what group you belong to. That lends itself to Jew hatred. But also smearing the country as a racist country fraught with white supremacists, but yet those leftists don't recognize anti-Semitism at all, really. They don't think Jews, who are a tiny minority. Go ahead.
I mean, you're right. Look, they ignore all racial crimes that are not committed by white people, first of all, right? Arabs have black slaves. You won't find the human rights community, bothered by that. What goes on against women and gays in the Muslim world is absolutely horrific, and yet they're silent on that. So they want to pick on color of skin color, and they falsely say that the Jews are lighter skinned than the Arabs, which is not true in most of the places in Israel. And
it doesn't matter. What matters is behavior, right? It's all, to them, they're all about skin color. Forgive me. Go ahead.
No, they're all about skin color, and they're all about clashing and destroying, traditional life. And, the Jews have always stood, at least the religious Jews have always stood for traditional life. And they find that they benefit from being against Israel. And the problem is that the Jewish leaders haven't figured out what to do. We have the Anti-Defamation League, which is supposed to be the defense department of the Jewish community, and they've completely failed.
They
lean left.
Right.
They've completely failed.
They don't lean left, if I may say. They are left. They're already there.
Yeah.
What, in our last couple of minutes?
And if you look at...
What do you think the Jewish community needs to do that it isn't doing?
So first of all, they need to learn about the nature and extent of the new anti-Semitism, and we teach them that. And they need to gather together and understand that their leadership is failing them, and we may not prevail unless we change that leadership. So we have pivoted after 20 or 30 years fighting these external enemies to now building a new Jewish leadership project. And that's our website is jewishleadershipproject.org. And we have teams in 12 cities around the country who are learning and will gather more people to learn how to put pressure on the failing Jewish institutions to do their job, which is to protect the community.
Huh. That's a pretty important thing. As a Jewish conservative, I can tell you that it's hard to find camaraderie. Among Orthodox, there are conservatives, but they're not noisy and loud. And as Dennis Prager says, because I get asked this all the time, why are Jews so liberal? And they're worshiping liberalism rather than Judaism. There's a lot of self-hating Jews who have bought into this wokeism.
Our religion has been hijacked by people who think that who want to make Judaism into socialism. You know, Tikkun Olam. I call them the Tikkunistas.
For our audience, Tikkun Olam means
being Jewish.
Forgive me for interrupting. Jews do that. I'm sorry. For our audience, Tikkun Olam means heal the world. But for socialists, it's heal the world under government instead of under God. So tell this one more time how people can find you at the Jewish Leadership Project. Sounds important stuff.
Okay. Yeah, we have lots of material, and we do trainings and conversations and Zoom sessions. JewishLeadershipProject.org.
JewishLeadershipProject.org. Thank you so much, Charles Jacobs, for joining us to talk about that. We talk about everything on this program. When we come back, we're going to get to gender ideology. Don't go away. We're going to wrap up the show on the Ellen Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline. We'll be right back. Check out samsclub.com. Everyone is looking for value these days, from clothing to furniture, outdoor toys to backyard items. Families are working to stretch their money. They're also shopping for value in what they buy. Caitlin Gorton, spokesperson for Sam's Club, has exciting news on ways to save this summer.
Sam's Super Savings will go live throughout the entire month of July with new deals each day. We know that value is of the utmost importance to our members, so we were inspired to create an event that gives them the chance to discover the quality and value that Sam's Club offers. There's no better way to welcome our many new members and show our current members how much we appreciate them than by giving them the chance to save on some of our favorite items for summer. This is one sale you don't want to miss.
To get in on all the deals, just go to your nearest Sam's Club or check out samsclub.com.
This report is brought to you by T-Mobile. Travel is back, but so is inflation. Travel demand from consumers and business professionals is up, but higher prices and volatile airline schedules present unique challenges for summer travel, not to mention the struggle of staying connected while traveling. T-Mobile is here to fix that. Introducing Coverage Beyond. Free in-flight connection, free high-speed data worldwide, and more. T-Mobile customers can now stream and stay connected in-flight all flight long, and right when they touch down abroad, too. T-Mobile believes your phone should just work wherever you go, even when you're outside the signal of its network. Right as travel prices are rising, T-Mobile continues to help customers get back out there and save money. T-Mobile customers now get a free year of AAA on us. And to help take the sting out of rising gas prices, its customers now get 25 cents off per gallon this summer through the week of Labor Day. Where can listeners go for more information? Visit T-Mobile.com/travel.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover guitar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice a 16-year-old boy who got his first job?
Not for extra spending money, but to help feed his little sisters?
Or a mother who's in between jobs and sometimes goes to bed hungry so her kids can have dinner? Or a 14-year-old girl who signs up to every after-school activity not to make friends, but just to get something to eat? Or a retiree who fell ill and had to choose
between getting medicine or groceries.
I am the 1 in 8 Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. access to meaningful employment, access to the veterans' benefits they've earned, accessible homes and vehicles, and access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back to the Alan Nathan Show. Thanks to Bobby and everybody who makes the Alan Nathan Show possible and makes it so much fun for me to sit in when I'm asked and when I can do it. And we're going to wrap up the show with a physician, an internal medicine trained hospital doctor. He was the first physician in the U.S. to widely use fluvoxamine for the treatment of COVID. He's talking today, however, about transgender ideology. He says it's child abuse. Dr. Saeed Haider, thank you so much for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
Well, and it's a pleasure to have you, and I appreciate your candor in saying that. Why do you say that? Enlighten our listeners.
Yeah, so the most important thing is that we are, you know, mutilating children against their consent. You know, they just are incapable of giving consent. We're not transitioning girls into boys or boys into girls. We're mutilating boys and girls that are not changing their sex. You know, they have one sex and that's what they were born with. Children can't consent to having sex, to getting married, to drinking alcohol, to using drugs. So they certainly can't consent to, you know, quote unquote, gender affirming care. They can't consent to hormone treatment. They can't consent to surgery. You know, their minds change all the time, right? Like one year they want to be a garbage truck driver. The next year they want to be an astronaut. One year they think Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy are real. And the next year, you know, they're like laughing at themselves for having believed that. You know, what people don't realize is these kids oftentimes are infertile for the rest of their lives if they've gone through the entire, you know, gamut of procedures and cross-sex hormones. They can't even have an orgasm. I mean, kids don't even know what an orgasm is. How can you consent to never having one, right, for the rest of your life? So it's ridiculous. Beyond that, you know, there's a huge, you know, incidence of suicide in these kids who do transition. Maybe that's because they had psychological problems before. Maybe it's kind of like associated with the transitioning. Who knows? But we're not treating it, right? We're not helping these kids. It destroys the family, right? So that itself is a form of child abuse because kids that come from broken families, they end up with much worse life outcomes across the board. And then, you know, the most concerning, you know, statistic that I saw was that 9 to 40% of Gen Z, you know, the latest generation is coming of age right now in their 20s, considers themselves LGBTQ. So they're not going to have traditional families themselves, right? A lot of them may not be able to have kids or they just won't be interested in it because they're gay or, you know, maybe they're trans or whatever it is. So there's a whole lot of problems.
Or they had surgery and they can't. Maybe they want to go back to being what they were and they can't do it because they had some maiming, mutilating surgery when they were seven. I just had to jump in because this shouldn't be rocket science, you know? It used to be that this was self-evident. You didn't have to defend against not giving maiming surgery to seven-year-olds. And now we seem to be on the defensive for trying to explain this to the woke population. What can everyday people do about this? Because it's an anathema to everything that is sane, and everything that you are mentioning seems to be on purpose, including causing people not to be able to have children, not to have families. All of it goes to a political ideology that's really quite sinister.
Yeah, so it has deep roots, right? I mean, it began with just the philosophy of atheism, and then it was extended with Marxism and the Frankfurt School about 100 years ago. And so it's really an anti, you know, civilizational ideology. And yes, it's an evolutionary dead end. Societies that go down this path self-destruct, and they don't have babies, and they don't, you know, continue to exist, right? They just disappear from the face of the earth. And that's punishment enough, right? Whether you believe in God or not, I mean, just the end of a civilization, I mean, what punishment could be worse? Whether it's, you know, from a nuclear holocaust or whatever, right? Maybe it's just because you stop having babies, right? You just don't have any
more
babies.
Well, and we've seen that in Europe. We've seen that in Italy. You know, everyday people actually believe there are too many people in the world. But who decides that? And is that really true? I don't think it is.
It's certainly not true. No, all of these ideologies are just utter insanity. You know, this Malthusian idea that the Earth has reached carrying capacity and we have to get rid of like 95% of the human population—it's utterly ridiculous. Okay, I mean, we don't even need GMOs, right? Like, we could have just continued to use traditional agriculture and sustained a world of 8 billion people.
Yeah,
you know?
But they're shutting it down.
Yeah.
They're shutting down agriculture. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I mean, it's very concerning and it's very disturbing. What can people do? That was your question. We need to just speak out. You have to speak out against it, right? The only way evil can spread is if good men and women do nothing and say nothing. I mean, the very least thing you can do to fight back is just to say that it's wrong. Just insist this is wrong, you know, so that doctors feel comfortable coming forward because they know that there's people that support them, right? Right now, everyone's afraid of this cancel culture that has obsessed everyone. You know, some people are going to lose their jobs, but if everyone stands up and says no all at once, they can't fire us all, right?
Yes, yes. Dr. Heider, with our few minutes left, what people are beginning to figure out, which is just chilling, is that they are marketing transgenderism to grow the numbers, to make it more appealing. It's almost like the gangs, you know, that find lonely, scared, confused kids, and they give them a family. We've got your back. If you're trans, we're going to make it cool to be trans.
This is the scariest thing about the movement right now, is that it is insinuating itself into our children's minds, right? So historically, all human cultures have sheltered their children from even the knowledge of evil, right? Like, they're not even supposed to know about these things until they're old enough, their brains have matured, and they're able to, you know, fight it off themselves. But you are letting, you know, the schools indoctrinate your kids with these ideas, and then they're nurtured away from your sight, right? So unfortunately, the schools are no longer safe. Okay, unless it's like a Catholic school, some kind of religious school that's completely opposed to this ideology, you know, a lot of your kids' friends are not safe to be around anymore, right? Like, you have to be really careful about the internet, about social media. Basically, social media itself is not safe. There's no form of social media that's safe because there are predators all over social media coming for your children to groom them. You know, the internet is not safe without a net nanny of some kind. I mean, you have to be really careful to be a parent and raise your kids in this world.
Yeah. I wish such an important question. Thank you. Shouldn't require courage to speak out and say it's abuse, child abuse, but you've got the courage. Thank you so much, Dr. Syed Heider, S-Y-E-D, last name H-A-I-D-E-R, Heider. Look him up. He didn't have a chance to give all of his particulars, but you will find him. Follow him at Breitbart.com. That's all the time we have, Karen Cataline. Thanks for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, MainStreetRadioNetwork.com.